Welcome to Nick's podcast, The Insanity of God. We pray that God will bless you in what you're about to hear.
So, Tim's dead. But my mind is flashing back to all of those trips for years in and out of Somalia. God had changed the questions that I asked. Even though this was it was ripping my soul apart. For years, I stopped asking God, why me? You know, it seems like the Western culture had taught me that. But I would come out of Somalia dozens, hundreds of times, and have been with families. They'd lost their husband, all their children, or their wife and all their children, or their whole family extended was wiped out and they're the only one left. And I got where for years for my life. Now I ask God, why not? Why is it, why not? My wife has never been molested. My kids, why not? I have not lost all of my children. And I don't ask why me anymore. I ask why not me? But at the same time, Tim's loss was such a tragedy. He had come to us just weeks before his 16th birthday and said, Mom, Dad, all I want to do is come back and be with the people in Africa. Do I have to go to America to college before I can come back and work in Africa? He just loved that place. And so even while we were calling family to tell them that Tim had died of an asthma attack on Easter Sunday morning, we knew Tim would want to be buried in Africa. Part of the challenge there is if they see you burying someone of wealth in any of the public cemeteries, they would come and dig the body up at night and to take whatever they could take. And so there was so much government corruption. They wanted me to pay a bribe to get him out of the morgue, and they wanted to pay a bribe, and the U.S. Embassy gave us a Kenyan lady named Lucy, which is the same name as my grandmother. And so Lucy took me through all the bureaucracy. And at one place, they wanted me to pay a bribe to get a burial certificate. And Lucy began to yell at them, this man, this woman, this man and his family, they love this country so much. They've given their son to this country, and now you want a bribe. You should be ashamed. And Lucy shamed them, and everybody gave us certificates. We went to Tim's school, to the boys' school, and said, you know, if Tim could have his wish, he would be buried at the school. He loved this school. We loved this school so much. And it was miraculous that in a week's time, the loving part of the government of Kenya and the school was able to work together, that almost in a valley by a creek, in a grove of trees at Tim's school, we were able to have a burial plot. And some of the hardest of this is while Shane came with his mom to the hospital, we just left Ray there asleep, our 11-year-old son. And at 7 o'clock on Sunday morning, we had to wake him up and tell him that his brother had died. And it was horrible. Ruth and I had talked, and I said to the boys, I said, now, boys, this is not anything that we would choose for ourselves, but let's don't waste it. Let's use Tim's death to honor God and to honor our family and to bless as many people as we can. We actually could have buried Tim earlier, but there was spring break on a number of schools in the area, and many of these students knew our family, had stayed in our house. They loved our family. They prayed for our family. So they asked us to delay Tim's funeral until they could get back and come to it. There probably was 300 people at Tim's funeral. Ruth's brother was able to come and participate in it. What you need to picture, maybe through my eyes, is that It rained almost the whole week after Tim's death on Easter Sunday morning. And neighbors, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus began bringing food to our house. From that terrible day in March until we left in June, we never fixed another meal. And students began to pour in our house to love on our boys. And one muddy, rainy day, I came to the bedroom door of Shane, and there's 18 pairs of muddy shoes outside of Shane's door. And so I go into his bedroom, and there's the 18 high school students that belong to those shoes. They're sitting in windowsills. They're sitting in the bathtub. They're sitting on the commode. They're sitting, you know, on shelves. And just the way the entire body of Christ responded to us that week was just unbelievable. Our Kenyan church, one of the best pastors I've ever had, our pastor at Ridgeways Baptist Church, they would come every night. We're so exhausted over all of this and being exhausted by love, but they would come to our house as per their custom and have a worship service every night. Now, this is almost seven nights in a row as we're trying to get the permits and get things together for Tim's funeral. And Ruth and I would be so exhausted, but I can hear now that those nights Ruth and I would go to sleep listening to our Kenyan church worship in our living room and listen to them pray for us and sing songs of the resurrection. And we realized as the family that if the resurrection is not true, then we are the most to be pitied for the risks that we've taken in the places our kids have had to live. But if the resurrection is true, then that changes everything. And every cost is worth it.
Thanks for listening. If you want to know more about our ministry, just go to nickripkin.com.